I thought I'd give you a riddle.
Oh, like man. Riddles?
No, you don't like it. I never like riddles, because I could never figure them out. You know, what walks on four legs, and then at morning, and two legs at noon, and three legs in the afternoon, or in the evening, or something. I don't know. Anyway, I never could figure those things out. Your watch? No, no. No. Anyway, that's a man. Because he crawls on all fours as a baby, and he walks, and when he's old, he walks a cane 3 days.
Cool.
I never liked riddles, but I got some riddle for you. Let's see if I can figure this out.
What does?
Because I guess why should I suffer alone, right? You have to suffer alone.
You suffer alone, brother. You need to repent.
Really? Okay. Here we go. It's like a poem sort of thing. We'll see if y'all can figure out the riddle. He had no shelter from the storm. Mm-hmm. A man-built house just drew his scorn. I can say. He had no axe, nor pail, nor shovel, no hoe or plow, nor saw, nor level. He had no need for forger's tools, nor awl, or drill, or even rules. No pencil, pen, no paper needed. Each feathered quill would lie unheeded. And all these things you need, we know, to till a garden and make it grow. he had none of, to use or show him how to plant and pot and sow. He used the one thing he possessed, the same thing God had found success with. He spoke unto the wayward tree and tossed it into deep blue sea.
Adam,
Jesus. Ah, what was this?
Jesus.
Adam. Okay. Everybody get that?
Yeah.
Everybody got that one, right?
I got it.
Yeah.
Mary.
Mary knew what it was. Yeah, he had nothing, did he? I mean, he had nothing. He had none of these tools and all that I read about. You know, he didn't have any of that stuff. And yet he's supposed to till a garden and make it grow. All right? Where's my plow? Where's my tiller? Yeah? No, didn't have anything. No hoe, no shovel. It was Adam. He did what he saw his father do, right? He spoke it.
Spoke it.
Yeah.
And if he had a tree that was wayward, or a weed, or whatever, right? Out of there, bud. Out of there, bud. It's gone, right? That's what Adam did, right? Boy, wouldn't it be neat if we could do that?
You know what? This morning, just about 30 minutes ago, I was reading Psalm 65, and I believe in Psalm 65, if you pray that over your crops or your garden or whatever, it'll spring up, give life to it, because that's what it's about. About crops growing.
Amen.
Is that what you're talking about?
Well,
it's a prayer.
Am I talking about crops growing? Am I talking about tilling a garden? Or am I talking about something else?
Authority.
Okay.
Speaking.
The power that we have in Jesus Christ. The power that we have in Jesus Christ. To till a garden or whatever. Right? To till a garden or cast out a demon or heal a sick body or whatever. The power we have, okay, we were given in Genesis. Right? Dominion over the fish of the sea and birds of the air, everything walks around on the earth, and over the whole earth. Right? So how do we exercise such power? If we're given that dominion, how do we exercise it?
Words we speak.
Speak it, right? We speak. Why do we do that? Because that's what?
Our Father.
That's what God did in Genesis 1, right? Everywhere you see God created something. What does it say?
God said.
And God said. And God said. And God said, let there be light. And God, and it was light. And God said, let the, you know, and God said, let's make some stars. Let's make some sun and moon. And guess what? That's all it said he did. And it was so. And God said it, and it was so. All right? I really didn't mean to get off on this, but, but you understand what I'm saying? You understand the power that we have? The power that we have, Jesus said, you know, if you had the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this tree, get out of here, into the sea.
Yeah.
A mountain, get out of here. He wasn't talking about just symbolic mountains or just symbolic trees. When he told these people this, he meant it. Because they had seen him doing things, right? Literally. This is a literal demon in this person. Get out of here. With a word, he cast out demons.
Right.
Yeah. So, you understand what's going on here? We have that same ability within us.
Man.
Yeah. I often read that verse and I thought, man, how do I get faith as like a grain of mustard seed? That's a really small thing, right? How do I get faith like that? And I thought about this for years and decades. Oh, if I could just get that much faith, I must have really small faith if I don't have that much faith. Really? Yeah? But it occurred to me recently. Wait a minute now. That's a really small amount of faith. How much faith does it take to believe that a man's death 2,000 years ago could have any effect on my eternal salvation today? A man dying 2,000 years ago on another continent.
That we never seen.
That I've never seen. You know, he's died 2,000 years ago, and I've never seen him. How can I believe that that has anything to do with my eternal salvation and my life today?
Mm-hmm.
That takes a lot of
faith.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a lot of faith, doesn't it? Really? I mean, think about it. That takes a lot of faith. Right?
That's right.
I don't believe that Julius Caesar, who lived 2,000 years ago, has anything to do with me today.
No.
But I do believe this other guy does.
Yeah.
Well, that takes a lot of faith, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Right? It does. I think I might have that mustard seed of faith hidden somewhere and I don't know about it.
Mm-hmm.
I just need to use it.
He give it to you.
Amen. Amen.
Wow, Brother Ray, you was talking about that, but it's impossible for us to believe that aside of the Holy Spirit giving us that ability to believe that.
Mm-hmm.
He gives us the ability to believe that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we, like I always say when I teach, we know about Casper, you know, that was during my, you know, they probably show that now, Casper, if you're friendly, go.
Mm-hmm.
If they do, they show maybe old excerpts of it.
Mm-hmm.
It was a little ghost, and you know, you didn't really believe in Casper, the friendly ghost. You just took it just like it was a TV, you know. But see, Casper couldn't put anything in you to make you believe in him, no more than he was a TV character.
You know, the Lord had me writing about that last night, how the Holy Spirit helps us understand so we can have faith and speak.
Yes, he does. He imparts he imparts that in you.
Mm-hmm.
He gives to every man.
Yeah.
He made you a faith.
Yeah.
To be able to believe in a God you have not seen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If we can have faith in that, then we ought to have the faith in everything now to save that mountain to be moved. Or raise the dead, cast out demons.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It's important to use wisdom with this power, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's important to use love.
Yeah.
Love with this power.
Yeah, it all works.
And to know what spirit we're of.
Yeah.
Remember, James and John were going to call fire down on the Samaritan village that wouldn't receive Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, what's going on, partner? Well, you don't know what spirit you're of.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's like Mary was saying. It's the spirit. It's the spirit within that reveals this to us, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what is the spirit? The spirit of truth.
Yeah.
Look in John 12, 13, 14, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, 14, 15, 16. And you'll find that Jesus calls him the spirit of truth.
Yeah.
Amen.
He's the one who will reveal to us the truth.
The truth.
You see? And what did Jesus say about the truth?
You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free.
Set you free from what? Deception.
Mm-hmm.
What deception?
Wow.
What deception are we being set free from? Who doesn't want us to know that we have dominion? Yeah. Dominion over the earth. Dominion over everything that walks on the earth, everything that creeps on the earth, everything that flies on, everything on the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Who doesn't want us to know that?
Yeah, Satan and his system.
Satan, because why?
He's the enemy.
If we knew it, what would we do?
We'd destroy him.
We would order him around.
Yeah,
we would order him around because he is down here on the earth.
Yeah, we'll put him out of business.
You see? I used to think, this is just me, you know. I used to think, man, I just want to kill those demons. They're so bad, they're so wicked, I just want to kill them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think, why won't Jesus let me kill them?
Because
He didn't say kill them. He said do what?
Cast them out.
Cast them out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I studied over that one for years.
Their appointed time ain't happened.
Huh?
Their appointed time hasn't come yet.
Well, that's what it says in the Bible, right? But why is he saving them for an appointed time? Why is they're down here? And I began to realize two things.
Two things.
One thing was, I need the training. All of those people need training.
Yes, sir.
And we need the practice, casting them out.
Come on.
We need the practice, you know? We need the training. Training is practicing something over and over and over again,
yes,
you know? Right?
Mm-hmm.
So we just cast them out over and over and over again. We get a lot of practice, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we get to the point where, oh, there's a demon. Okay, yeah. And it's nothing, you know, because if you're trained, and you know how to do something, you've done it many, many times. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's nothing. I can do that.
It's easy.
It's easy. Mm-hmm. It's easy, right. And the second thing I understood was this. The only power the demons really have is influence. Mm-hmm. They influence our thinking. They influence our actions. If they can influence our thinking, they've got our actions influenced, right? Mm-hmm. Because what does a man think is, so he
is.
Does, right? Mm-hmm. So he is, right? So if they the only power they really have is influence. Mm-hmm. They can influence us to do certain things. They influence everyone, okay? So we as Christians, we resist that influence, mm-hmm. right? We listen to the voice of truth.
Amen.
It tells me a different
Amen.
Story, right?
Amen.
And you know, those thoughts that come in that are not good, we just resist them. Cast them out, right?
Amen.
Bring every thought
Pull
into
them down.
Captivity, right?
Amen.
The Word of God. So, they have a lot of pride. Why do they have a lot of pride? Because of who they used to be.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
That's true.
Right?
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Where do they used to be?
Angels.
Yeah, the fallen angels, right? And, you know, so they're used to being way high, lifted up, able to do powerful things. They used to be powerful beings, right? Mm-hmm. All kinds of things. And we out here lowly, mm-hmm. created beings, you know, of course they were created too. You know, I mean, they saw us as being, you know, these guys are so stupid, God, you know. Mm-hmm. They said, these are so stupid, you love these guys, you know. And then they get cast down because they lifted themselves up in pride. Mm-hmm. They got cast down. And now, in order to really punish them, what did he do to them? He put them on earth. So they are now under
our feet.
Our feet.
Body.
The very ones right. they were boasting about how much greater they were than the creation, right? Suddenly, they're under the creation. That very thing that they were insulting us, they're now under us. Mm-hmm. And these stupid little creations that God made are now ordering them around.
But most people don't even realize they got the authority over you.
Mm-hmm. See, that's the right. thing. That's the thing. The Holy Spirit, what Mary was saying, the Holy Spirit within us mm-hmm. will reveal that truth to us. Okay? That we do have that dominion. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
We do have that power. We can speak to those evil spirits. Mm-hmm. And we can cast them out.
That's right.
And it's kind of like, you know, you ever seen a dog that someone scolds? What does he do? Step between his legs? Mm-hmm. Like that? That's what a demon does when you cast him out. He is so humble. He is so shamed, you see. Because the very thing he wanted to do would be prideful, right? And suddenly here's this little old bitty man telling him what he's got to do. He's got to do it.
That's right.
He's got to do it. He has no recourse. He's got to do it. If that man really means what he's saying, he really knows who he is, mm-hmm. and he's speaking in authority, that demon
got to go.
He's going to stoke
him out. Don't look at me.
I mean, that,
that's true.
You know, that's kind of where they are. You know, just all mouth, really.
Yep.
You know. So we have that authority, we have that power. Mm-hmm. And there's really nothing that can resist us, you know. I think we're going to catch the time here, okay? Okay, so that is what we need to transmit to other people, okay? Remember I told you about this generation? Remember at the beginning, this generation is coming, right? We're going to change things, right? Mm-hmm. Mary was talking about it. The Holy Spirit is going to mm-hmm. make a move.
Yeah.
And things are going to be changed. There's a generation coming. I've heard prophets talk about it. I've heard about it, right? This generation is going to come. And they're going to make a big change. It's going to bring about something. Mm-hmm. Revival, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a big, big change. But this generation has got to know this stuff. Mm-hmm. Because this is how they're going to bring about change.
Yeah.
They're going to be walking in truth. In a greater way than we are, than we ever have, okay? And I say we, I mean the church, okay? I don't mean us here. Mm-hmm. See, they are going to walk in them truths much in a much greater, much more effective way than the church has ever seen.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen one or two people here and there that can do what? They can do miracles.
Mm-hmm.
But now here comes a generation we're all out of. Not just the big names, not just the big ministries, not just the heads, you know, draw thousands. Hey, a lot of them are going to do it.
Yeah.
And they're going to be nobodies.
Mm-hmm. I know.
They're going to be nobodies. They won't have the big name and marquees up there.
Mm-mm.
They'll just be the quiet guys. Like you and me. All right?
Yeah.
Don't have a pulpit to preach behind. Don't have a church where people can come and see you. And don't have our name on a sign out front. It's just nobodies. They're going to be just a bunch of nobodies. Even God glory.
Mm-hmm.
You see, that's this generation that's coming. Mm-hmm. We have to do our part in training them.
Is that the triumphant church you're calling for?
That's right. There you go.
Okay.
Generation is going to do what? Storm the gates of hell.
People going to wonder where in the world they came from.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And that's where we come in. We're where they came from.
Mm.
We're the ones that have to train these folks.
Yeah.
Okay? We need to tell them these truths.
Mm-hmm.
These truths. Okay? Why are they not getting these truths now? Because we haven't been telling them everything.
Mm-hmm.
The church hasn't been telling them everything.
Yeah.
We tell them part,
mm-hmm.
but not everything. The church has been telling them, Jesus died to save you from your sins.
Mm-hmm.
Trust in Jesus, obey these commandments.
Mm-hmm.
Pray and read your Bible. If you pray, you might get your prayers answered. Might. Right? And this is basically the whole message of the church.
Mm.
Live right. Mm. Do good. Right? And that's not a bad message. Okay?
It's just incomplete.
It just doesn't go far enough.
Mm.
Okay?
In my opinion, don't mites grow on chicken butts.
What now?
In my opinion, mites, anytime somebody says I might do that,
yeah.
That grows on chicken butt.
Yeah. You don't get it, right? You don't get it. So the deal is,
true.
You get the truth imparted to them, but they don't get the whole truth.
Yeah.
So they walk part way.
Part way.
All right? They walk part way and they're walking in love and they're reading the Bible and all this sort of thing. And this is good.
Yeah.
This is good. But they need the whole truth.
The whole truth.
The whole truth is what they need. I'll show you something here. But I got time to do this part anyway. You know, from that, what they get is the gospel from our perspective. Okay? And I've talked about that. But what we need is also to get the gospel from the disciples' perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And from the disciples, you know, before the cross, the good news. Okay, the good news was the kingdom has come. The Messiah is here.
Mm-hmm.
God is with us.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, let's go, boys. It is wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
That was good news.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we can call down fire from heaven. We can do all kinds of neat things. We can cast out demons. Man, in your name, Jesus, we can go out and cast out demons. We can heal the sick. Oh, man, this is wonderful.
Yeah.
That was the good news before Jesus died. And it's still good news.
It is.
It's still good news. But we seem to have lost that part of the good news. We just focus on the death and resurrection and the atoning. You know? So let's go, you know, and I know we're all caring about it. We're all Pentecostal, whatever you want to call it. And so we're more in tune and thinking about the Holy Spirit in here. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
But out there,
mm-hmm.
it's not there. It's not true, you see.
Yeah.
So we have to bring that to them. They have to bring that to this generation.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to be more open to receive it.
Yeah.
Okay? They're going to be more open to receive it than any other generation.
That's right.
Great. That's the reason this generation has gone to the dark side. They want to see power.
Oh, yeah.
They mm-hmm. want to see.
That's exactly right. You're exactly 100% correct.
Mm-hmm.
The interest in Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Star Wars, the Force.
Vampirism is growing massively.
All these Yeah, Dungeons and Dragons or whatever that stuff is, all that fantasy stuff. Yeah.
Because they want to see it.
Just a little food for thought.
Yeah.
Okay. What I've learned over the years is that you've got to deal with the sin issue.
Yeah.
First.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And the first part of what I have seen work more than not is if you deal with the sin issue and get them saved.
Yes.
Okay. Then the rest of it would be academic.
Absolutely right. And that's one of the points I wanted to make, and I'm glad you made it, because mm-hmm. you did it real well, is this teaching mm-hmm. isn't for everyone, mm-hmm. okay? This teaching that I'm talking about is a discipling teaching. Mm-hmm. And so
right.
It's not evangelistic, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
All right? It's discipling, mm-hmm. okay? All right, so we have to cast out our nets or cast out mm-hmm. our seeds to see who's going to grab it. Who's going to go with? Who's going to accept? You know, Jesus, he called a lot of people to be disciples. Mm-hmm. But he didn't have a lot of disciples. Mm-hmm. Some of them had other things they'd rather be doing.
Yeah.
Right?
That's true.
And they walked away, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the message that we give, you know, oftentimes it says Jesus was talking to the crowd. He ministered to the crowd. Then he went up on the mountain. He called his disciples to him and spoke to them. You remember that?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, if you look... I've looked at watch this video about Israel back then around the Galilee, Sea of Galilee. When you went up on the mountain, it was steep. It was a tough climb.
Mm-hmm.
The crowd is not going to follow you up on the mountain. The crowd didn't follow Jesus up on the mountain. I can tell you, I looked at those hills and I'm going, whoa, If he went up on the mountain, they didn't follow him. You know, he would dismiss the crowd and go up on the mountain to pray, right? And nobody followed him. Mm-hmm. Except his disciples.
That's right.
Except his disciples, and that's who he talked to.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right, Glenn. That's very good. That's a good point, okay? We need to be careful, all right? Because remember, Jesus only spoke to the crowd in parables, in riddles.
Yeah, that's true.
In riddles, like I read to you. Mm-hmm. But you got the riddle, you see. If I hadn't said anything to you, all right, you would have still gotten it. But if it had been a whole bunch of crowd of just regular folks, I would have never said, what does it mean? You see, because Jesus never explained the parables to the regular folks. Mm-hmm. He only explained the parables to who?
His disciples.
He wasn't going to either.
Yeah, he would speak out to the parables, to the crowd, and then he'd go away, and his disciples come to him and say, Lord, what do you mean when you said that parable about that? Mm-hmm. About the wheat and the tares? What do you mean? Explain it to us. You explain it to them. You explain it to us. But explain it to us, right?
Yeah.
So be careful who you give it to, right?
Mm.
Because you don't want to cast your pearls before
swine,
lest they trample them in the dirt and come and attack you.
Mm.
You see, because they don't know the value of what you give them. You see,
right.
They don't know pigs don't know the value of pearls. They don't know a pearl from anything else.
Mm-mm.
All he wants is something to eat.
Just a rock.
Bless her, foul and clean.
All I can tell you, I raise pigs. All they care about is something to eat. Can I eat it or not? If I can't eat it, I just trample it in the nut. But, so, yeah.
And these things, they won't work if sin exists.
Yeah, you got to have the truth, because if you don't have the truth,
it won't work.
You're not going to have the faith.